Non-Monogamy Help is a podcast where your questions about open, non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships are answered. Our host, Lola Phoenix, will consult a licensed therapist with over a decade of experience to address your problems. Names and locations have been changed or censored to keep your questions anonymous. You're listening to Non-Monogamy Help, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of the Non-Monogamy Help podcast. I'm Lola Phoenix. Please send your questions to ask@nonmonogamyhelp.com and they'll either be in the podcast or the column anonymously. You're more than welcome to decide which one you'd prefer. If you want to read the columns and listen to all the podcasts, the website is nonmonogamyhelp.com. You can subscribe to the email newsletter by going to go.nonmonogamyhelp.com/email, and you can follow the column and the podcast on Twitter and Instagram @nonmonogamyhelp. And if you want to support the columns and the podcasts, it would be really, really helpful. It's just, you know, a nice vote of support, and it just helps me run things. Things cost money, so even $1 or the lowest Patreon amount that I have available helps me support the daily running of the columns and podcasts. You can do that by going to patreon.com/LolaPhoenix. And if you donate towards a certain level, there's a mid-level, your name with your permission will be read at the end of the podcast. Let's get to this week's discussion question. If this is the first time you're hearing this, every week before I read the letter, I put forth a discussion question you can use with your friends, partners, or anyone else to get to know them a little bit more. I also answer it myself briefly to give you a little bit of context. This week's discussion question is, do you have a good idea of when a need isn't being met before it stops being fully met or it becomes a problem? So this is like a slightly complicated way of asking this question. I'm sure there's like an easier way to ask it, but basically it's like, if you know or don't know that you have a need and it isn't being met, at what point do you recognize that? Is it by the time you're kind of in pain and really need it to be addressed or distressed? Or do you sometimes find that you're able to kind of notice a little bit beforehand? And to be honest, I'm not quite sure with myself. I think it depends on the need, but I think I'm getting better at identifying things that I definitely want and moving more towards, instead of like waiting for me to not get it, asking for it from the start. Or maybe deciding relationships based off of like, are these going to be people that are going to be able to meet those needs? So yeah, that's kind of my short answer. It's a complicated question, but I think that it's a really interesting thing to explore, especially if you're about to be in a relationship with someone. Maybe they're not so great at identifying that, you know, because sometimes some people aren't so great, myself included, sometimes at identifying our emotions, or we kind of come from a place where the first kind of response to our emotions is to just go, I don't have that, whatever, meh. And so it's kind of difficult sometimes when you don't really want to deal with your emotions, or you're kind of used to putting it away because it's never been acceptable, to recognize when you're upset or when you need something. So it's always a good thing to explore, because if you have a partner that struggles to identify that they're not getting a need met until they become distressed, then it might be beneficial for you to then figure out, okay, when they're distressed, how do we work through that? Because it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. I mean, obviously it would be great if we could all identify things before we became distressed, but sometimes that's just not realistic. And then it becomes about, okay, my partner's distressed. How do we handle this? And some people, and I've had relationships with people who are really, really excellent at whenever I was distressed and I wasn't able to even ask for what I wanted for complicated reasons, my partner was able to be like, are you distressed? Okay, you're distressed. Let's handle your distress and be very calm. It was almost like my distress made them more calm. Sometimes that's how it works. So yeah, let me repeat the discussion question again. Do you have a good idea of when a need isn't being met before it stops being fully met, or it becomes a problem? Let's get to this week's letter. I'm married for 20 plus years and have a partner of almost 8 years. I call them my partner, they prefer friend, which might have an influence on the dynamic. They are separated from their spouse, who is a lot older than them and has needed care, and my partner has become their carer. Days spent with their spouse has increased from 1 day visit to a week to 1 overnight to 2 overnights, and we're currently on 5 overnights in a period of 8 months. The spouse does not know anything about me, so there is barely any contact when my partner is there, usually only a goodnight text after I've gone to bed. I try to be supportive and accept that my partner is caring for someone. However, coupled with some of out of context text messages that I've received from them that I've perceived to have been meant for a third party, and also the speed in which the unavailability slash overnighters have accelerated, I've become concerned that some days they say they are caring for their spouse and are not contactable are being spent with someone else. They insist they want to be mono with me, even though I regularly ask if they are interested in someone else and tell them that I support that. I asked them about it and told them about my concerns, and they got very angry and stopped contact with me for 2 weeks. I understand that they are stressed from caring for their spouse, and I have to believe that is what they are doing. If they are not, it is easier to think they have connected to someone else rather than them no longer feeling connected to me. We only see each other for a couple of hours once a week. It's been nearly 3 weeks since we've seen each other after our disagreement, with very little chatting in between, as I mentioned. And they have said that they want to relax and enjoy our time together rather than talking about my insecurities, which I get as they have been carrying all week. I appreciate that they make time for me. Things are in limbo at the moment. They say they love me and only me. I love them, but I don't know if I should let them go romantically until they are in a better place to have a relationship with me. I've always said I would support them and I want them in my life. Things are just so difficult now. Added to this, my husband has been struggling with my relationship with my partner. My husband sees ethical non-monogamy very much through a sexual lens, whereas I am more emotional leaning and hasn't been very nice to me sometimes over the course of my other relationship. I'm not sure what I want to hear. I think I need some help to unravel it all. Thank you. Before we get to this week's answer, I want to quickly remind you of this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp. Quite often in a lot of my columns and podcasts, I encourage people to seek a polyamory-friendly therapist. And for a lot of people looking locally for a therapist who may understand polyamory can be impossible or out of their budget, BetterHelp allows you to find therapists online that you can send messages to at any time of the day. And they do offer some financial aid. You can get 10% off your first month by using the promo code nonmonogamyhelp at checkout or going to betterhelp.com/nonmonogamyhelp. Let's get to this week's answer. So the issue really isn't whether or not they're seeing someone else without telling you, I don't think. I think that you've kind of pointed out that this is a little bit of a distraction. The issue is that you're unhappy with the setup and the way that this is kind of almost progressing, but regressing. I guess regressing is the right word. You haven't really seemed to have a discussion about non-monogamy and monogamy. This I find a little bit strange because they want to be monogamous with you and yet they're still caring for their ex-spouse, although you keep calling their spouse a spouse. They say they love you, but they want to only call you a friend. There's a lot of really confusing things going on here with definitions of things. And I'm not saying that they have to necessarily prescribe to like all of the traditional concepts of like how relationships work and what you call people. But there's a lot of like completely undefined things here. And it doesn't sound like you've had a discussion about the physicality of how non-monogamy works in your lives. Even if this person wants to be monogamous to you, which I find a little bit strange, and I sometimes wonder why people don't explore that a little bit more. And I sometimes wonder why people who are non-monogamous, that doesn't kind of trigger something to say, okay, we need to have a conversation about this. Because it's very easy to say, especially within a monogamous-centric society, like, I love you and I only love you and I only want to be with you. It's very easy to say things like that. But being monogamous to someone who is non-monogamous is a thing, and it is possible, but it's something that I think requires some discussion, some work through, because on a basic level, like, you have a husband, so you have a whole, and I'm assuming, I could be wrong, that your husband, you have maybe shared assets with, or you have an established relationship with. And, you know, within ethical non-monogamy, you've said that your husband sees it more as a sexual thing and you see it as an emotional thing. Have you discussed that and the way that non-monogamy works within your other relationship? So there's a lot here that's not really worked out. And that in and of itself leads to anxiety. And because you haven't really discussed, like, okay, I am non-monogamous. I have a husband. I spend this many days with my husband. I have these days free. And I'm not saying you have to stick to a strict schedule, but sometimes having some idea of what time you have with each other is beneficial and helpful. And sometimes relationships can be very, you know, unplanned, and you just end up spending time together. You end up in a very synchronous relationship where you don't have to do that. But sometimes you have to do that. It's sort of like within monogamy, a lot of people, especially when they live together and have long-term relationships, they think that sex should always be spontaneous and that's better. And a lot of people who give advice to monogamous couples will say, schedule things like that. Schedule your intimate time together, even though you think you shouldn't do that. It's actually nice to do that. Because people think that it doesn't work that way. I don't know. I think within non-monogamy, you have this kind of same problem where you just have other partners, but you don't really think about the scheduling and you don't really think about the time. Like, love is infinite. Yes, la, la, la. You have only 24 hours in a day and you have to work and you have other shit you want to do. Like, it's not just like easy to schedule in multiple relationships. Like, there's a lot going on there and it's worth thinking about the time. So it sounds like you haven't really had that discussion with each other. So of course you're going on like almost the opposite of the relationship escalator, right? Like, you had a lot of time, now you're getting less and less time. You don't really know why. Of course you're anxious about it. Of course you're freaking out about it. And then you have this sort of weird texting situation. And I don't really think that the issue is that they could be lying. It's that you are, as you said, are trying to find a reason why they are slowly and slowly kind of slipping away from you. And then you have this other aspect of the situation, which you've not really discussed. Like, this person, as far as I've understood this, they are caring for someone who they are no longer dating. They are not together. I don't know if they cheated on their spouse with you, but, or if this is a don't ask, don't tell, but they're now not together. So why is it you're not allowed to have contact with them while they're doing their care work? Like, okay, yes, it's care work. It's a job. They might not be able to pick up the phone, but why such a like no contact whatsoever for the time that they're spending with someone that they're not even romantically together with? There's a lot going on here. So you're dealing with like this less and less contact. And then you get these weird texts and you're like, oh, are they actually being with someone else? I wouldn't mind, but I just want answers. And the issue isn't really that they could be lying. Like, obviously it's not great if they're lying, but the issue is that you don't have answers. I'm really concerned that they chose to stop contact with you for 2 weeks. And this is a thing, like, I absolutely understand when people are too upset to talk. And I am one of those people that when I am really upset, sometimes I need distance and I just need to calm down, because if I don't calm down, I'm going to say something nasty or I'm going to be a jerk and I just need a moment. And that's okay. But 2 weeks is not a moment. And this feels like a punishment. And even if they don't intend it, it seems like it, even if they're stressed, they could have tried to understand where you're coming from. They could have been like, okay, I am hurt by your accusation. And it doesn't even really sound like you've made an accusation, but, you know, I'm hurt and I need some time. Like, you can take space from someone without punishing them. You can take space by saying like, look, I'm really stressed from caring. This sort of questions about these texts have made me even more upset. I need a little bit of time. Please give me 2 weeks. That's completely different than stopping contact. And it sounds like they did the latter rather than the former. So I'm concerned with that. And I just feel like overall, like, you can sit here and you can try and analyze every aspect of their behavior, look over these texts, blah, blah, blah. But this setup isn't working for you. So I'd ask yourself, like, regardless of whether or not they're seeing someone else, this is not a setup that works for you. This person does not have time for you, whether they're spending it with someone romantically or they're just spending it caring for their spouse, ex-spouse. This person doesn't have the time for you that you want, and you can find someone that can give you that time. And that's what it seems like at the bottom of all of this. Like, I wouldn't even bother trying to hash out these texts and analyze this and that and the other. Like, at the base of the issue, you would like someone who can spend more time with you. They do not have that time. They have chosen, whether, I don't know why they've decided to be their ex-spouse's carer, but regardless, it would be the same if it wasn't the ex-spouse they were caring for and they just had a care or career and it was really intensive. Clearly, they don't have the time that you need. So you're not really compatible in that way. And that's how I think you should look at it, rather than trying to pick through texts and, oh, are you really seeing someone else, blah, blah. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, like, obviously, your feelings about it matter, and I'm not saying they don't matter. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether or not they're spending that time with someone else. There's lots of reasons why people, and I know this seems really odd, right? Because you would think within non-monogamy, if you have the quote-unquote permission to date other people, that wouldn't be an issue for someone. But surprisingly, there are lots of people who, for some reason, this was my first experience of non-monogamy, actually. I was interested in someone who basically was using me to cheat on someone else, and both of us were non-monogamous, and there was absolutely no reason why he had to do that, but he did that. I can't explain the inner machinations of why some people decide, even in a non-monogamous setup, to still hide and cheat. And maybe they enjoy that. I don't know. I have no idea. Either way, even if they aren't cheating, this situation is still not working for you. Clearly. And it's not you're not getting the time you need. You're not having, enough communication with them. It doesn't sound like, unless you can sit down and have a conversation about okay, I have a husband. These are the days that I have free. I would like this type of communication. Can you give me that type of communication? I feel like you are kind of just accepting what level that they can give without asking for what it is that you actually want. You want to communicate with them while they're caring for their partner, or have that not be so don't ask, don't tell-y. And there's no reason for it to be don't ask, don't tell, because they aren't dating that person. So why? Unless there's a good explanation for this, and I understand they're busy, caring work is busy, you can't be on the phone, but it sounds a little bit more like, why doesn't the ex-spouse know about you? Why not? You wouldn't keep that a secret from someone you were caring for as a job. You wouldn't hide so why? You can have these discussions if you want, but at the end of the day, you need to ask for what it is that you actually want instead of just accepting what this person is giving you and trying to work your way around it. And don't, I would regard, if they can change things, then I try to put this sort of weird texting thing behind them, or weird text situation, try not to put it behind you. But there also needs to not be any more of this no contact punishment shit. No more of that. Absolutely not. It's fine if they're stressed. It's fine if they need a moment to step away. It's fine if they're hurt. That's okay. You can give them space. But that must be communicated in a way that isn't a punishment way, if you understand. And I think you understand what that means. Last but not least, when it comes to your husband, the definition of he hasn't been very nice to me could range from being brusque to being really abusive sometimes. The way that people describe behavior can really vary. So I don't know what you mean by your husband hasn't been very nice to you. Understandably, if you haven't had a conversation with your husband about how ethical non-monogamy works within your relationship, especially as you have such different needs for it, if his needs more around ethical non-monogamy are more focused on sex, which is fine, and your needs are more focused on emotions, which is also fine, you need to have a discussion about that. You need to have a discussion about how ethical non-monogamy works within your relationship, how your time is managed. And if he hasn't really had that with you, of course, he might be feeling anxious, even especially if you are more focused on emotions. Because technically, if his is more about just sexual gratification, sometimes that can feel a little less intimidating and threatening than an emotional relationship. So that needs to be discussed and worked out. Maybe he's a little bit frustrated because you haven't had that discussion with this other person, and he sees you kind of stressing out about this other person. And, one thing that I think is not really addressed quite often enough in non-monogamous literature, writing, whatever you want to say, is that there's always kind of this assumption that when you live with someone and you're married, or you, have a couple relationship and you have quote unquote couple privilege and whatnot. And I have a lot of complicated feelings about that, and I'm not going to go into it. But one of the assumptions that people sometimes make is that relationship is always prioritized, that people always prioritize their spouse. And I have experienced many, many situations where when living with a partner in a situation which is considered quote unquote privileged, our relationship was not prioritized. In fact, I felt like furniture a lot of the time. I felt like we got all the shitty aspects of being in a relationship, like arguing over who's going to do the dishes, talking about bills, dealing with the house stuff. Meanwhile, other people, quote unquote, secondaries, got to go out and have fun dates and not have to deal with any of that stress. I sometimes felt like I was the one who was their rock. And by being the rock, I had to deal with all of the negative shit, all of the emotional processing, and the secondaries could just go out and have fun. And I am understandably a little annoyed about that, as you can tell from the sound of my voice, because it is so frustrating to hear all around me constantly that this is a quote-unquote prioritized relationship while experiencing the quite intense emotional pain of having someone that you live with and that you love and care for prioritize and spend more time on fun dates and fun outings with quote unquote secondaries than they do with you. Because it's almost like you're just there all the time, so it doesn't really matter. So they don't have to put effort into you because you're not shiny, new, and fun. So obviously got a lot of feelings about that, but maybe that has to do with how your husband is feeling. If you've been putting all of this energy and effort into this situation with someone who ignores you for 2 weeks and someone who treats you this way and someone who wants to be monogamous to you, which might freak him out understandably, but is caring for an ex-spouse and is ignoring you whilst they're doing that. And I don't even know if your husband ignores you when he's on his dates, but he might have a lot of feelings about that. But I don't know what you mean by he hasn't been very nice to you, because even if he's had a lot of feelings, he, you know, you don't deserve to be treated like shit. So I don't know what that means. But I think that you all need to discuss that. And maybe if you haven't had these discussions about how time works within your non-monogamous setup, it's understandable that he might be going through a lot of anxiety about that. And that needs to be discussed and talked about. And maybe, like, if he is socialized as a man and has that sort of societal man experience, with that quite often comes the inability to really discuss feelings or being sort of beaten down by society constantly, and therefore feeling like you can't discuss your feelings and therefore resorting to snapping at people, which I'm not saying is makes it okay, but sometimes it can be more difficult for guys to discuss their feelings depending on the environment that they grew up in and all sorts of other social aspects. But it's worth recognizing that. So that may be why he's being a bit brusque if that's the case, but we need to break this down and talk about it and go see a couples therapist together, talk about, you know, just basic physical setups of how this is going to work in your life. And I don't think it's that you and your husband are incompatible. You can be interested in non-monogamy for different reasons. But I do think that if you are more interested in an emotional aspect of non-monogamy and he's interested in just kind of like having different sexual experiences, it's worth really talking that through and how it fits in your life, because you are going to maybe have less time for him if you are developing other relationships and he's not, and that's worth kind of thinking about. So yeah, to sum up, I don't think the issue is whether or not this person is seeing someone else without telling you. Obviously, your emotions about that are important, but clearly this situation doesn't seem to be fully compatible with you. And instead of you asking for what you want, you're kind of just accepting what you're given. And there's a wider discussion that needs to be happened about A, why it is that they're caring for an ex, but they still can't talk to you. B, why it is that they want to be monogamous to you and what that means for your relationship. C, how this relationship fits in with your overall non-monogamous setup and what kind of time you want from them and can they give it. And last but not least, D, why it is that they decided to go no contact for 2 weeks, and was this done in a way that was a punishment to you, or was it done in a way of, I need a break because this is stressing me out, which is fine. And yeah, I think also as a little addendum to the rest of this, to sum up, you need to have discussions with your husband about this setup and, you know, what it means for your relationship, how your relationship is structured in terms of time. And I think that would help out a lot. And just remember that just because this person is your husband doesn't necessarily mean that they feel connected to you. Even when you're married and living as a couple, you still have to work on that relationship. And I think even in monogamy, people often just assume that if you're married and you're together, that's done then. The relationship's been worked on and it's settled and you can just ignore it and go on with your life and not put any effort into it. And that is shitty in monogamy, but the result in non-monogamy quite often can be that you don't put any into your sort of quote-unquote privileged established couple relationship, but then you put effort into relationships that are outside of it. And that can leave your partner feeling a little sad. No lie. So yeah, I hope that helps and good luck. Thank you for listening to this episode 113, oh God, of Non-Monogamy Help. If you want to be awesome, you can donate to my Patreon. There is a level. It's not, I keep saying $5 or more a month, but it's some other level. It's maths involved. Okay. And clearly I'm not a maths person. I do a podcast. If I was a math person, probably wouldn't be doing a podcast. Anyway. Yeah. If you select a level, your name will be read at the end of the podcast, but you do have to give me permission and I have to make sure that I'm saying it right. Anyway, this week's current patrons are Laura Boylan, Chris Albury-Jones, Juke, Nikki Jones, James Wartell, Tyler Tigno, and Justin Calm. If for whatever reason you can't become a patron, because I understand life happens, we don't all have expendable income, then if you can take 5 minutes, log into iTunes or Spotify, find the podcast, rate and review it, that would be really helpful, as it helps me get the podcast out there to new people, and it's just nice. And if you do a review, please let me know on some sort of social platform if you'd like, or just email me, because I don't always get notifications, especially on iTunes and stuff like that, when people do reviews. So it's always nice. Or if you just want to rate it, that's also nice. Anyway, that's all for this week. You will get a new column next Friday and another podcast episode in a fortnight. Thank you again for listening. You've been listening to Non-Monogamy Help. The podcast music was done by Chris Albury-Jones at albury-jones.com. Our podcast art was done by Dom Jung, and you can visit Dom's site at domdung.com. Thank you again for listening.